Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools.
For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown.
Through its Fed Talks series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia students and Georgia schools.
This is John White.
And this is Craig Gears.
And this is Fed Talks with John and Craig. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for coming back to our next Fed Talks episode. This is John White and Craig Gears here at the department, and we're with Ms. Shawn Owens, our state ombudsman, again for our round two. And last time, you did a great job of kind of setting the context for what is equitable services and how does that work with school districts coordinate with private schools. So we've invited you back because Craig and I over the last few days have decided that we have many more questions for you. So here's the first one, just to carry on with what we talked about last time. So our question is, it's a real basic one. How do the public schools even know what private schools that their kids might be attending or what private schools are in the region?
So if we're talking about the LEA, which has a requirement to
Hold on. What's LEA?
That mean?
Oh, sorry. Local educational agency.
So in other words, our public school district.
Yes. So they have a requirement to make sure that they're reaching out to the private schools that serve their students, students that live in their district. So in order to do that, we have a law that actually ensures that all students in Georgia are actually attending school of some sort, whether it be public school, private school, homeschool, and where the private school has to complete documentation each month and send it to the superintendent for that
at the public school
to say these are the students that would go to your school district that we have enrolled, and if a student has withdrawn, the same thing, we collect that once a year so that we have that on file in our data collections, and that way we know where the students
are. It's essentially a state law that requires the private schools to really work with the public schools to let them know, because as you said, in Georgia, all students have to be in school up to the age of.
And it doesn't matter what kind of private school it is, how big it is, or size. It just, they either in a public school or they're in somewhere else, and that's what they have to report to us, right?
And you mentioned homeschool. Are students who are homeschooled eligible for equitable services?
We do not serve equitable services under Title I or Title VIII for homeschool.
Okay, so it's just kids enrolled in the private school.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
That's a big distinction. Thanks for clarifying that. But that leads me on to the next question that we brought up last time. And really, it's to kind of help explain, you know, last time you talked about coordination and planning. So, you know, how the district, I think, Craig, she was saying the district had to coordinate with the private schools, right? I wonder if that would mean that a district might have to have 10 meetings if they have 10 private schools. Shawn? Yeah.
No. There's the initial meeting that you have with any private school that you may serve that has students that live in your district, right? The public school has a responsibility to reach out to those private schools to make sure that they're actually, they have to go through all the services that private school students or teachers might be entitled to for each one of these programs that we've talked about. And in doing so, they have to go through, you know, how does the allocation process work? What are the services that are being provided? How do you develop, you know, how do you sit down during consultation to talk about the needs of the particular students? So there's a number of components, the ongoing consultation, how do you evaluate the program? The onus in that case falls on the public school, because the public school has a fiduciary responsibility, and it is their program. They have to implement the program, and they have to monitor the program. So they have to reach out. More importantly, is the ongoing consultation. So what is that ongoing consultation? That is one of the most important things that they can do, so that they are sitting down however often they determine with that private school to meet the needs, depending on what programs they've decided to basically be part of. So that ongoing consultation is crucial. That ongoing consultation is also crucial because of the fact that now, moving forward, we do not have carryover for equitable services under Title I and Title
II.
So if you have a certain allocation that you're going to use for
the public school.
Yes, at the public school that you're going to utilize with the private school or schools, if at the end of that year you have not spent down those funds, then in the past that those funds could carry over to the next school year.
Makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. However, under our new law, so when we're looking at ESSA, we now are looking at the fact that we do not have carryover for equitable services under Title I or Title VIII unless there are extenuating circumstances. However, there really probably should not be extenuating circumstances, and that's to benefit the public, the private school, to make sure that those funds are expended within that year.
And I think one thing we did not mention the first time, but really important, is these are equitable services, so that means that the children in the private schools, the services need to be delivered basically at the same time as they're delivered in the public school. So if school starts at the beginning of August, in theory, that's why the consultation you've just been talking about.
But how do you get those meetings in so quickly at the beginning of the year to plan for that year?
Well, you should have procedures and protocols in place that have been long established, where you have a process by which the private schools know that you're probably going to start. So for us, we strongly suggest that they have that initial consultation before they go into November, so that they can
of the preceding
of the
year.
Current year.
Planning way in
so advance. They're year in advance planning.
Right. It takes a while.
So how do you know, how public schools typically try to reach out for those? You know, that let's say it's December, perfect time of year. What are our public schools doing right now? What modes of communication, or how are they trying to engage the private schools legitimately to want to participate?
So in the past, one of the things that we've strongly suggested or possibly required would be to reach out for the initial consultation through a certified mail. However, that becomes extremely expensive and time-consuming, and our goal is simply to make sure that the schools are reaching out. So they may reach out through regular mail, they may reach out through certified mail, they may reach out through email, if that's the preferred method. But they have the responsibility, the public school has a responsibility for demonstrating that they are in good faith effort, making really truly trying to reach out to all of the private schools for that initial consultation.
I wonder if any of them just go and knock on the door.
Well, they might have to sometimes.
Yes, and we have had some. Yeah. We've had some because those are typically our public schools that have great working relationships, and maybe someone moved and they get a bounce back, and rather than just say, well, that school is no longer in existence. We have had public school officials that will go out and try to locate the school if they know.
Okay.
And again, that's because at the end of the day, the whole point is to make sure they're serving the needs of those students.
And don't we actually now, under the new Every Student Succeeds Act, because that law now requires your role as the ombudsman and that we actually receive documentation from the district, we actually have to get something from our districts, don't we? That says we've had and we have reached out. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So we have a couple of forms now that under the role in the ombudsman, in the past, the local educational agency or the district has actually been the one who housed these documents. However, now that we have some changing requirements, part of my role is to collect and house these documents to make sure that the initial consultation is taking place. In addition to the initial consultation, we have actually affirmation of timely, meaningful, ongoing consultation and equitable services. And we actually collect one of the documents at the end of June, then another we collect at the beginning of October. And part of the document, it's really sort of an agreement between the public and private private schools, where each one of the areas of consultation, the meaningful ongoing consultation, the delivery of services, the timeliness of the services, we've enhanced our forms to say yes or no, so that the private school has a voice in the process to say, yes, I feel like, you know, we had meaningful and ongoing consultation. Yes, I feel like my voice was heard throughout the process, or no, I don't.
Okay.
And in the no, I don't case, that's where my role sort of kicks in. Now, hopefully, there's been such a good working relationship between the public and private school that that doesn't get checked off on the form because they've already corrected the issue way before then. However, if that's not the case, and things possibly they're not delivering the services, the public school, in the manner in which they should be, then that's where my role comes in, and I sort of act as a mediator between the two to say, okay, what's the issue and how can we resolve the issue to make sure that equitable services are delivered and students don't want students to not have the services they need.
And how have our districts been doing, generally speaking, over the years as far as showing us a good faith effort at really trying to reach out to their private schools?
From what I've seen, they've done a really good job. I do, however, when I look at the map of Georgia, and I've made a map where I have all the districts in blue that have no participating private schools, participating equitable services, and then yellow, where we do have districts that are, or private schools that are participating, as we would assume, most of the participating private schools are in metro, since that's where the bulk of our population is. However, when I look across the state in general, it gives me a little bit of a pause to say, why do we have so many districts in Georgia that have private schools, but they're not participating? And again, to reiterate what I said in the first podcast, it is not my role as ombudsman to sell equitable services or to make sure private schools are participating. It is my role to make sure that a good faith effort is being made to reach out, and that initial consultation is truly meaningful and gives a good overview of the program that the students may be entitled to.
I think, as we said a few minutes ago, generally speaking, our school districts have done a pretty good job about showing to us that they have reached out to the private school. So I'm wondering if it isn't more of a need to educate the private schools
and
on really what this means.
Right.
So that's a great comment, because as part of this, and as part of, you know, many ombudsmen, our role may be in public school, right? So now we have to make sure that we truly are understanding, speaking with, and allowing input by our private schools. So this has been a real educational, real eye-opener, and it also is sort of made me think about, okay, what all communications should we be making sure they're in, the private schools are included in? How should we sort of, in the past, we've done a lot that goes directly to the public schools, but now as we look at this, there may be a bigger picture here where we need to reach out more to our private schools, where we need to make sure they have more of an input. We've tried to, you know, I've tried to go in and make sure with any of these forms that we're updating to go along with ESSA requirements, or just to enhance them in general, that I make sure that we have private school representatives at the table, because their voice is key, because it's their students and teachers who are being served.
So that brings up a very good point. What if I'm listening to this podcast right now? I'm a private school. I own a private school, nonprofit, and I have never been reached out to by a district, and I'm thinking they don't know I exist. What should I do?
Reach out to the district and then reach out to me.
Can I get you at that federal programs email address?
You can.
federalprograms@doe.k12.ga.us.
I don't know how to say that.
Yes, you can. Yes, or you could go to the federal programs website and just email me directly. However, but yeah, you can reach out to myself. You can reach out to the public school to see. Again, you just want to make sure that you're aware, so that it ultimately it's a private school's determination whether or not they participate in the services they may be eligible for. However, you do want to make sure that you're making an informed decision, then you have all the information as part of this.
And I know recently, aren't you also trying to reach out from the state level with the Association of Independent Schools.
I've had the opportunity. I've been invited by a number of the organizations, private school organizations, to come and speak to their principals, speak to their leadership heads, just to make them aware of what's not only what's available to them, but also processes that are in place just in case something does not go the way it needs to go, because that's part of what I'm expected to do, is make sure that I work as the liaison between the local educational agencies and the private schools.
So, Craig, to summarize, just to make sure I'm hearing it right, okay, it's December. Now is the time that I should be getting coordination with a school. Now, I know I'm a private school. Nothing's happening right now other than planning. We're trying to get ourselves set up for August of 2018. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so all the planning happens well in advance. So that's where I need to know where the private schools are. I need to identify needs of the kids. All that stuff's happening so that that's the plan that's ready when school starts, right?
Yes, and keep in mind, if you are a private school in a metro, in the metro area of Atlanta, you may serve 6-7 different private schools from different local educational agencies. So in that case, you're working with 5-7 different districts to coordinate the services.
So hold on, back up. So if Craig Gears private school, I'm participating, but because some of my students may live in DeKalb, some may live in Fulton, what you're saying is, as a private school, I actually, if it's Title I, because Title I's the only one that crosses those lines, I could be working with those different public school districts.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So that, again, as part of this role, is something that has really given me pause to say, how can we reduce the burden? Because, of course, a private school is going to want to attend the initial consultation, but that's an overview. And once you've attended one, it's probably going to be very similar information. So this gives me an opportunity to sit down with the private schools and sit down with the districts and say, how can we better serve your needs? How can we coordinate some things for you? How can we streamline some processes so that your students' needs are being served, your teachers' needs are being served, but we're actually creating better processes and standardizing things across the board to help both our private and public schools.
So, Sean, to wrap that up, that would, if I am in that scenario where I'm a private school and I have four districts coming to me to coordinate, the intent is that there still be a level of coordination so it's not overly burdensome for me, because I still want to be able to participate, but I don't want the logistical piece to turn me away, right?
Right. But then just keep in mind, the bigger part of that is the ongoing consultation.
Right.
So if you have a number of students and a number of programs that you're participating in, and you have the ongoing consultation that the entire year, that's a lot on our private
schools. But it seems to me it could be coordinated, that the four districts could coordinate together to help the private school, right?
Okay. So we're looking at
ideal situation is it's my private school and you're the public school, and we're coordinating in the current year because we both agreed on services. Well, that natural sequence, now it's December.
We're already working together
for this year, but through our ongoing consultation about how it's going, we're also going to begin talking about the following year.
Right, because we're trying to see if what the services are happening are effective anyways.
Yeah, right.
So now's the time to make changes and adjust midstream, et cetera, based on the kids' needs, right?
Right. All right. Well, thanks, Sean. This has been really good. Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. And I think we'll continue the conversation in our next round.
Great.
And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.